when we went to the house of prayer. Today, I just want to share about a few things that I really felt like as we're going into the year 2012, the theme for the church is to spend time in His presence. And I really feel like as Christian, the demarcation line is going to be really, really clear. And as Christian, we want to go further and further and further into the things of God. And you know that our God is a very deep God. He's not a shallow God. Even when he talked to Peter, he's like, you know what? Go in the deep sea and catch the fish. Because if you go in the very shallow one, you don't get the good one. God is a deep God. He loves us to go deeper. And as we go into 2012, He wants us to go deeper into His presence. Because, you know, I was talking to a few people how when we take vaccination to get so that we don't get a disease, they just put a little bit in us so that we have enough and we don't get the disease. And what is going to happen is with Christians is that if we get just a little bit, we're going to be immune to the things of God. We think we have it, and yet we don't have it. And I believe God wants to go deep. He wants to go deep with us. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to move forward? And one of the things that I really felt like the Lord has been speaking to me lately is about we need to have it very clear in our mind, who do we serve? Who do we serve? Because if we serve people, we will have a lifestyle which is up and down, up and down, because the plumb line is not right. In John, it was very clear. Jesus said, you know what? I only do what my Father does. And I know who I serve, and I know who I'm going to please. He only pleased the Father. We need to know who we're going to please. Who are we going to please? Are we going to please people, or are we going to please God? If we choose to please God, I'm telling you, we're going to be in alignment with the Word of God. We're going to be able to do things that is not going to come against us. We need to know who we are going to please. And we need to be able to say, God, I choose to be like Jesus. I choose to please the Father. And when I please the Father, good things are going to happen. Because He's a good God. I'm telling you, He is a very good God. And a lot of time, we've got out of the blessing of God, not because He's not a good God. It's because we've got out of the protection of God by doing some of the things that we've chosen to do. And there are consequences to everything that we do. Unless we go and we repent and say, God, you know what? I'm really sorry for what I do. And God is in the business of restoration. That's what He does best. And if we're going to look in the Bible of some of the people that God have used, I can guarantee you that most of us will not want to have them as their leader. They've got a resume which is extravagant. You look at David. The guy is a murderer. He's a rape. He go with women. I mean, who would want somebody like that to be their leader? And yet God said, you know, David, you are a man after my heart. I love you. God chooses whoever He wants to choose to use, as long as we are willing to go back. Look at Solomon. Everybody talk about Solomon. Oh, my goodness, he's a God full of wisdom. How many know about that? He got wisdom through a dream, and then it was downloaded upon him. But what happened to Solomon at the end? He didn't end up well. It was bad. The guy have 700 wives. John is like, one is enough. He's got 700. 300 concubines. It's like, the man is half dead, I would say, by now. You know what I mean? This is Solomon, the man who was full of wisdom. And did you know that sometimes we think that when we're older, we get more wisdom? That was not the case in Solomon and in many of the men of God in the Bible. When he was younger, I think he was a little bit wiser. As he got older, it was bad. At the end, he built things for other gods. You know why? Why is that? Because he have not dealt with the things in his heart. Don't think that as we get older, we're going to get wiser if we don't deal with the things in our heart. I used to believe that. But as I read the Bible, as I look at the different men in the Bible, I realize that unless I deal with my issues, it's not going to go well with me. In fact, it's going to be bigger, and it's going to choke my life in such a way that when I look back, I'm like, what have just happened in my life? I'm now 85 years old, and what have I done? I believe that God is going to give us, Christian, time and time, lots of opportunity for us to move forward. And today is an opportunity to move forward. And one of the things that I really felt as I was praying and what the Lord has been talking to me is one of the bait of Satan. And we know that what it is. It's offense. It is a big thing that is pulling us out of our of where God wants us to go. I love David. I love to read about David. He just amazes me. He's crazy. I love his craziness. And I also understand how he's a man who is who loves God with a passion. There's no one in the Bible who has that kind of personality. And you know what? If you can look in the Bible and see some of the people that God is using, then we can qualify ourselves. We do qualify to be served by God. I mean, look at Elijah. That guy, I mean, come on. He defeated the prophet of Baal. And after that, he went and hid. He heard a still small voice. And then he listened to that and defeated the prophet of Baal. What kind of faith do you think he must have? And just after that, he was depressed. He hid himself. And the Bible says he wanted to kill himself. I mean, talk about multiple personality. The guy got it. He was like here. The next time he's here, and what did God do to him? He did not like be upset with him. He sent the angels. I like this part. That's why I eat cake. He said he baked something for him, and the Lord feed him. Isn't God good? God is giving us chances to move forward. What we do, there is a consequence in life. I just came back from Mauritius, and I look at things. I look at people. You know when you are 30, you don't think like that? When you're 40, you think a little bit different? When you're 50, I guess you will think a little bit different. But when I look at some of the people, I'm thinking, you know what? At the end of the day, we're going to face the Lord. We're going to see the Lord face to face. I've seen some of the people that I've known for a long time. I mean, they are businessmen. Everything that matters for them is business. And they've, all their kids, each one of them, they were able to buy land for them. Each one of them has a car and they have one or two or three. And now I'm looking at them, it's like, you know what? It's not even worth it. At the end of the day, there was one guy, he was talking about, it's like a monopoly game. You go, you start life, and then you win, and then you buy land. After you finish buying land, you start to buy houses. After you finish buying houses, you buy hotel, and you hope that everybody will come into your hotel and go bankrupt, and so you can get to buy their stuff, right, when you play Monopoly. How many have played Monopoly before? Okay, come into my hotel. Come on, come on. And then what happened? They can't pay. They go bankrupt, and then you take, at the end of the day, what happened? The box closed. Reality happen. Our life is like a box. It will close one day. And the day will be we're going to face God. We're going to meet God face to face. And we are meeting him face to face. It's just that we choose not to face reality sometimes. And I'm telling you, this is the time that God is bringing us back into his presence. God is like, I want you to come. I want you to move forward. I don't want you to have just a little bit, because just a little bit will not be enough. You have to have a lot. You have to have my presence. My presence needs to saturate your life. And one of the things that I really felt like the Lord is talking to us is about offense that has come into our life. And you know, offense usually comes, it's because you don't think it's right. It's not right what just happened, so you're offended. We can get offended for many, many different ways. We can get, like, you know, sometimes you get offended more when it's something dear to us. For some of us, it's maybe our car. Like, you know, it's like, give me a ride. And then, oh, you know what? Can I stop over and buy you a little soil because I need to plant? Excuse me, you're going to buy soil and put it in my car? No way. Why is that? Because car is I like my car. I don't want you to dirty my car. Some other people, it could be their house. So you come to my house and you think you're going to, no, I don't want that. Some people, it can be their spouse. Touch anything, but don't touch their spouse. Some of us, it can be our children. Some of us, it can be our job. Like, we are godly people, but when it comes to our job, we're bad, like we'll trample anyone just to get a promotion. You know, like whatever is very dear to us, sometimes the offense comes deeper in that area. So God knows what are the things that are dear to us. That's why he says, you know what, I'm a jealous God. I want to take it all. I want to take it because I want to give you more. He doesn't take it not to give us. He takes it to give us more. And one of the things that I felt like the Lord has been talking to me lately is the offense that has landed in our heart. And often it's things that are very, very dear to us. And these things, instead of us turning it to be a seed to be planted, we're turning it to be a seed which is not right. And then we continue to go around the mountain over and over and over again. If you look in the Bible, you will see that sometimes God brings storm. Like Jonah, it didn't say the devil will bring the storm. It said God brought the storm. Sometimes God brings mountain in our life so that, you know, as Christian, I like it. Oh, we command the mountain to be cast out in the name of Jesus, go. But sometimes God wants us to walk for the mountain so that we can go further. But we like the least resistance. We like the mountain to be removed. I like that. I don't know about you. I like the mountain to be removed. But often God wants us to move and to walk over the mountain and to go to the next level. And I'm still learning to walk that because honestly, I like to cast it out. That's my first reaction. And so how are we going to go through that? I really felt like some of the ways that we're going to overcome offense, like the Bible is very clear on that. And in Luke chapter 17, Jesus, he said himself, he said, you know what? Offense will come. I mean, the guy has been offended. He offended many people, and he also has been offended. Sometimes we get offended not because what people say to us, it's what people don't say to us. You know, you save a lot of money, you bought a house, the house that you bought, it's like you really make a big effort, and then you invite your parents to come and your best friend, they come to your house, and they don't tell you nothing. They didn't say, I don't like your house. But they didn't say nothing. It's not always what people say to you. Sometimes what people don't say to you, we get offended. So that's why often when we pray for people who, they've never been told by their parents that they are loved, they normally will go with that. When we say, you know what, how was your mom? Oh, my mom was lovely, was really nice. But what about your dad? My dad, you know, he was not that good. We say, okay, would you like to, did your mom ever tell you that she loves you? No, but she's nice. But sometimes we don't realize it's the word that we haven't said that hurt us. And as we become older, we rationalize things. We say, it's okay. But it wasn't okay when we were a little girl or a little boy, you know. A lot of times we get offended, not what people say to us, but what people don't say to us. So offense will come. It will come. Jesus said it will come. But how are we going to deal with that? I haven't been very good at dealing with offense. I don't know about you. I'm learning. But I know that God is taking me to the next level because you know what? It's for my own benefit. Because as I'm able to overcome offense, I will be able to move to the next level for where God wants me to be. Because it's very difficult to go deeper and higher if we haven't have an understanding of how we're going to deal with that. Because if we don't deal with that, we're going to go through another test again until we are able to go through that and deal with it. And you know what? I'm still young. I don't want to go over and over. And I thought when I get older, I'll be wiser. But when I look at Solomon, he was not. And I look at many men of God, they were not. And you know what? I ask God, give me the ability to be able to say things when I have to say and not to say. David was a great warrior. But you know what? He could never correct his children. Look at Absalom. He was a great warrior, a great man of God, but he was never able to tell his son, hey, listen, you know what? Don't sleep with that girl. He was not able to do that. And sometimes some of us, we are great women and men of God, but we don't know how to say things, how to do things. That's why we need the wisdom of God. One of the things that I really felt like the Satan has used is offense as a bait. To stop us from growing, to paralyze us. And we always feel like we are the victim. oh, you know what they did to me, I'm telling you these are bad. You know, nobody, we cannot really say, you know, you make me do that. Nobody can make us do that if we choose we don't want it to happen in our life. If somebody can make us angry, that person has control over our life. We think we have control over them. I don't think so. I think they do have control. The person just said one word to me, and for the rest of the week, I'm upset. What kind of control does that person has over us? Does it ever happen to any one of us? Come on, all of us, you know. And then it goes, what do you think she said that because of that? Now it grows. A little thing like that, it grows like that, and it grows like that, and it grows like that. The person has control over our mind. Who are we serving? Who are we pleasing? Unless we nip that right away and say, you know what? I choose. This is a lie from the pit of hell. I choose not to listen to that voice, and I choose to listen to the voice of God. God, what is it that you're saying that I need to do? And God is going to be very clear to be able to show us. So one of the things that I really felt like God is saying is that if we go into, if we open your book to Proverbs 19, verse 11, it says, a man's wisdom give him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. This is the NIV. Other version will talk about the discretion of a man make him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. I'm telling you, our natural reaction is not patience when we're angry. This is not the natural reaction. I remember when Amy was, she was young. We just changed school for her. She used to go to an English school, to a completely French school. And I decided, you know what, her English need to improve. So I decided we want to change her and take her to an English-speaking school. At that school, she was very sporty. At that school, there was a little girl who did not like it. There's somebody else who come in grade five and is love sports. She wanted to be the only one who is the first one. So she wrote a little petition. And then she got the little classmate to sign it. When I heard that, I'm thinking, you little turkey, you messed up with the wrong person. You know what I mean? Patience is not our first reaction. My first reaction is that, who signed it, Amy? Because I had a friend. I have two friends in that school. Their sons go to that school. I said, did they sign it? Yes. I said, uh-huh. You know, our first reaction is that we're going to deal with that right away. This is our reaction, normal reaction. We're going to deal with you. You mess up with the wrong person. What do we do? What did I just do? I said, God, get out of my way. I'm the mother. I'm going to take control over that situation, and I'm going to do a good job at that. I'm going to go and see the principal, and you little turkey, I'm going to talk to you as well, and your mother. And it's like, we want to control everything. And the Bible is very clear. He said, you know what? A man's wisdom give him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. It is to his glory. I'm sure if I have stepped in, thank you, Jesus, that when I spend time in his closet, the Lord say, you know what? You better slow down a little bit, Alexandra. Thank you, Jesus. It's like, but our first reaction is we want to fight back. We want to fight back. And you know, I was reading the Bible yesterday. I came, like the Lord showed me that verse in Proverbs 24:17. It says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Whoa. And do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. How many know that it's a wonderful word of God? And in Romans 12:9, he said, do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for the wrath of God. It is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. You know what? The Lord did a wonderful job in that situation because I did not step in. I know if I have stepped in, I would have made a bigger mess. The teacher knew about that, and the whole situation changed in her favor. What I'm saying is that a lot of times God is going, and God knows your weakness. Like, you know, my child could be my weakness. For you, it could be your job. It could be, I don't know, your spouse. It could be your mother or your father, you know. You can talk about my wife, but don't talk about my mother or my father. Anybody has a weakness. And it could be a weakness that the enemy knows the weakness in your life and he will use that. And unless we pass the test and say, God, in Proverbs it says, give me patience. So one of the things that we need to ask God is we need to ask God for the patience. And something else is watch what we say or think. My mom used to tell me, if you have nothing good to say, don't say it. I'm like, no, I have to say it. She said, don't say it, please. It's true. If we have nothing good to say, it's better not to say it. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, he said, he was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. That was Jesus. He's an amazing example to us. He was treated harshly. He was beaten. But you know what? He did not say anything. I believe there are times where we need to speak out, just like David did not know how to correct his son. But there are times where we need not say anything. It's very natural for us to say something, but only if we change our thinking and say, God, can you please help me not to say anything right now at this time, because I really feel like I want to say something, because it does feel good after you finish saying it. And then you wish you never said it. Like the word is gone, it feels so good, but as soon as the word is gone, you're like, oh my goodness, I wish I never said that, but it's already gone. So Jesus is a perfect example how he was able to not say anything, even though he was treated harshly. Some of us, we might be treated harshly. And you know what? Let's go into our closet and ask God, God, is it time for me to say something? Because if we don't say it, because there's the law, like John said, the law of place, the law of time. If we say it in the wrong timing and the wrong place, we might end up causing more problem that we should really. And you know, usually when we get offended, our first reaction is to criticize. It's kind of go hand in hand. When we get offended, because we really, you can get offended for anything. Like if you have an issue with tithing and you go to a church and the pastor is like, you know, when you start tithing, the windows of heaven is going to be open, the blessing is going to flow. Oh, so now you're telling me that if I don't tithe, the windows of heaven is going to flow on me? What kind of God are you serving? We can get offended for anything. Anything. If we all are somebody who is very into, oh, so now Christmas, you put in Christmas tree and you tell me you're a Christian. Like some people are just very attached to that tree, you know what I mean? And some are like, they got a teaching, like, we are not to have Christmas tree. Like, we can get offended so, so easily. You come to church and you have it's 10 o'clock, you come here at 10:05 and you want to have a coffee. And Jackie, she's not here right now. She's like, you know what? The cafe is closed. Oh, see? This Christian, they say they have love and now I only want a coffee and she won't allow me to have a coffee. And now they say, love is so good. Jesus, how great is our love? We start judging and what is happening? We sit here and we become like our face become longer and longer and longer. And the preacher is talking. Look at this one. This one should tell the people to be nicer and she's here talking. What is happening? God is not even able. We are laughing, but we're all like that. We are more sophisticated because we are adult. But kids, they'll tell you right in your face, you know. But we are adult, we're a little bit more sophisticated. But we end up judging so much. So much. And I'm here, I'm sitting, the Lord is dealing with me. One of my weaknesses, I don't like to see typo mistake when I'm singing. And today seems to be the most typo mistake on the song as never before. And God, I'm going to talk about offense. And now I'm so upset. I can't even worship you. Oh, Lord Jesus, healing, Father God. And I'm looking. I see Jesus, J-U-S-U. I see God, Lord Jesus. I see all the typo mistake, like more than usual. You know what I mean? I'm like, I say, Astra, please pray for me. I need healing right now. I need to overcome that. And you know, worship is, I know we need to make sure that we have no type of mistake. But worship is not about that. Worship is about closing your eyes and worshiping the King of Kings, regardless who is leading worship. Right? Do I know that? Absolutely. But that is my weakness. And the Lord is giving me an opportunity for me to pass my test. Today I almost fail. I'm passing it really to the border. I'm like, I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm going to keep worshiping you, my Lord. It's like, you know, things like that will happen in life. Things like that will happen when you come to church. You will be offended. People will offend you. We come from different cultures. Maybe in your cultures, you can ask people questions. Hey, where do you work? What kind of money do you make? This is normal in your culture. In my culture, you don't ask these things. Do you know what I mean? We all come from different culture. We might say something that might offend somebody. Some cultures say, hey, how old are you? Oh, I'm whatever, right? I'm 43. Other culture, you don't ask the age, especially not a woman. We get offended so easily. We need to ask God to give us the patience to be able to overlook that. And the Lord say that it is to our benefit that we overlook it. Number three, it says, look beyond the situation. In Hebrews 12, verse 2 to 3, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. You know, I do believe that as we start to look beyond the situation, God is going to help us. As we start fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we'll be able to overlook a lot of offense that has happened in our life. And God calls us to be peacemaker. In James 3:18, he said, and all those who are peacemakers will plant seed of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. In Matthew, talk about blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called son of God. And you know what? Here it says, if you plant seed of peace, you're going to reap a harvest of righteousness. You know the promises that God has for the righteous. We all want the benefit of the righteous. But we need to start sowing those kind of seed. And I believe that today, as we're going to take communion, and as we're going to ask the Lord to help us to overcome offense, because I know that this has come and it will continue to come. The birds will fly, but you don't have to let them make a nest over your head. It will keep flying, but we need to know who we are serving. Who is our king? Because if we don't know who we are serving, we're going to be controlled by men. Men will want you to do this, 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 and that, and it's not even good enough. But if we know who we serve, I guarantee you that there will be things in your life. It's going to be simplified. Because your time, you will know what you need to do and what you don't need to do. And it doesn't come automatically. Patience doesn't come automatically when you're angry. It takes time to process it takes time to say, God, please help me. I'm upset right now. Can you please help me? Did you know that there is a time limit for us to get upset? In Ephesians, it says, do not be angry, but do not sin, and don't let the sun go down before you deal with that. You can be angry, but do not sin, and don't let the sun go down before you deal with your issues. So there's an expiry date on that. The expiry date is the same day. And many times I've missed the expiry date, and I think it's still good. The milk is still good. The milk is rotten. You know what I mean? The expiry date is today. So we need to be able to do that. So why don't we just stand? We're going to take communion at this time. And I'm going to get the ushers to start. And this is the time that what we do is that we are going to ask God to check our heart. What are the things that we've been offended? What are the things that we are offended? What are the things that offend us all the time? What are the mountains that we need to climb and we choose to say, cast out, command the mountain to cast out? So, Father, we just come before you this morning. We just ask you to come and reveal to us what need to be revealed, Father God. What are the things that you want to reveal to us, Father God? What are the offense that we've allowed to come into our life, Father God? Father, you are a good God. Your words say you are a good God. And you want us to move forward. So Father, this morning, we just want to ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Any offense that we have harbored in our heart, which is not of you, Father God, which has brought bitterness into our life, Father God, anger, every time that we look at that situation, that anger will rise up because we felt like it was not right. Father, I ask you to come and give us the patience and the faith to believe that you, God Almighty, you are for us. But first, Father God, we want to be in your camp. We want to be in your camp, Father God. We want to know that you are for us, Father God, that we are in your camp and you're going to allow things to happen. You're going to allow things to happen in our life. Can you please give us patience? Help us to overlook offense, Father God. Help us to forgive those who offended us. Help us not to offend people by the way we talk to them, Father God, or the things that we don't say to them, Father God. We ask you to forgive us for all the offense that we've caused others, Father God, for all the judgment that we've made. We might not have said it, but in our heart we believed it. Father, change our mindset, that renew our mind with the mind of Christ right now, Father God. I want you to take this time, just you and God. Just say, God, I want to go deeper. But there are things in my life that I need to make right, Father God. Only you know that, Father God. So I ask you to help me at this time. Help me. Holy Spirit, if we've judged our parents, Father God, I ask you to forgive us. Your word said, honor them. Even though they're not perfect, honor them. Father, forgive us for judging our leaders, Father God. Your word say, honor those that you've put over us. Even when we see their fault, Father God, we choose to honor them, Father God. Father, I thank you as we step into that covenant, Father God, the law of honoring. Father, I thank you for the blessing that is going to fall into our life, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that we can come before you this morning as a body. We ask you to cleanse us right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you some of the things that you still have time to redeem. Some of you can still go back to your parents. Some of you can still do what you need to do.